Well, good morning, everybody. I find myself very emotional after I heard Annie speak. I just want to take a second to thank the Lord. Because I reckon with Annie very much in what she was saying about herself and about seeing the needs of others and how limited we are in our own ability and capacity to do things to change the lives of peoples around us. And I'm so thankful to be standing here. I was on a downward spiral for a really long time in my own life, where there was no turning back from. And I don't know how, I don't know when, and I don't know why, but God called me miraculously out of that, and it had nothing to do with any action that I partook in, other than showing up to a random church one Sunday morning. And I found myself on worship, just crying. I don't even remember what the whole message was about. But all I knew at the end was that I felt a love that I had never met before, that I had never known, experienced, and it set off a trajectory in my own life to search after who is that person that made me feel that way. And I'm just so thankful that from that point in my life all the way up to now, he's still meeting me there. It wasn't just then, it wasn't one time. It's been over and over and over and over again. And so I'm humbled, and I'm so thankful to stand here amongst beautiful mothers today, but also people that I really look at as not just friends, but real family to me. You guys have shown up in my life in ways that I can't even fathom. And I also get the privilege to speak in front of my parents. Yeah. And Mom, happy Mother's Day. I'm so thankful for you too. Again, if it weren't for Jesus, I wouldn't have the relationship I get to have with you now. It wasn't always like this, but my mom is my best friend now. And I have an amazing stepdad who has immediately stepped up to just come and take care of me and love me just as I were his own. And yeah, that is a miracle. And I just want to thank my husband too, because that wouldn't be a thing without God either. And just even coming up here, I felt like I was going to cry because he just kept looking at me, smiling and cheering me on the whole past week. This morning, he was so excited for me to just be able to do this. So thank you for believing in me and loving me and empowering me and encouraging me to step into this, and for making the time with our kiddo. He literally all day took our kid out to do activities that were on my behalf. I know they were for Mother's Day, and just so I could work on this. So, okay. Yes, so thank you. I'm going to stop ranting about myself now, and we're going to talk about Mother's Day. We're going to talk about a mom in the Bible who is like the OG mom of moms. And I bet most of you can guess who that is, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Also, I clearly am pregnant. I'm due in July, so there may be a couple times I may be sitting down for a little bit of this. And please pray for me that I don't feel like I have to pee the whole time. So, I was so thankful. I don't know who was all able to be here last week. But we had an amazing speaker come in, amazing man of God from Kenya, who I totally cannot say his name, but he's known as a bishop.
Bishop Mark.
Bishop Mark. I can say Bishop Mark. He came in, and man, I was on the edge of my seat the whole time, just in faith, inspired, excited, and he validated exactly what I wanted to talk about today. So that was really exciting. So one of the things that Bishop Mark talked about last week was he talked about Luke 1, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. and announced that she was going to be a virgin that was going to give birth to Messiah who was going to save the whole world. And he elaborated on how she in faith responded to this. And I want to elaborate on this too. Now, I do want to let you know, I made a whole PowerPoint presentation. When we put it up, the words were like really small, so y'all wouldn't even be able to read it anyway. So we're going to start out, though, in Luke 1. And we're going to start at 26. So, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Oh, if someone came in my house and greeted me and said, "The Lord is with me," whoo, thank you, Lord. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary responded to the angel, then saying, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Yeah, that's a pretty solid question, Mary. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Not Mary's son, the Son of God. Amen. "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she was called barren, is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary responded, saying, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Ooh, there's so many things in here. There's so many things in here. But the first, I had already kind of hit on it a little bit. But when the angel came and said who she was going to bear in her womb, he didn't say, "Here's a baby that I'm excited to put in you so that you can have a son." He said, "I am putting the Son of the Most High in your womb." And then goes on to explain that he is the Lord's God's. He's not Mary's. But Mary is privileged to carry this son and to be a mother to him from the beginning of his life all the way to the end. And she asked a question, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" And I love this because there's so much humanity and humility in this. How does that happen? Please tell me. I do not know. But the angel explained it very clearly about the Holy Spirit coming upon her and overshadowing her. And then he even goes on to explain what happens now with her relative, who I love this also because most of us in here, I would say, know who Elizabeth's son ends up becoming, and which is John the Baptist. We all know about John the Baptist, right? Okay. He was brought up in this not just to talk about a miracle that the Lord was doing near Mary. He was bringing this up simply because John was preparing a way for the Son of God. And that was the point. The point was that everything goes back to him and him alone. And afterwards, at the end, she responded with this beautiful response of faith that I honestly sometimes very much do not reckon with how she responded. And she said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And she just let it go. Okay, I receive it. That's wild. She didn't even have any other questions. So the next thing I want to bring up, and we'll tie this together, is then how the angel came to Zacharias, which is John the Baptizer's dad, and how he came to announce the birth of John. So we're going to go to Luke 1, and this is going to be verses 5 to 20. And I'm going to try to go through this really quick. and in fact, I'm going to sum up a little bit of some things too. So Zacharias was a priest. This was his occupation, his ministry. He worked within the temple here and did all the rituals within the temple. And he was married to a woman named Elizabeth, which I have many questions about that because I know in this age, priests aren't married. But anyways, it wasn't like that then. But they were both found righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, but they desired to have a child. But they were both advanced in their years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom, by doing this, that, and the other thing, and many people were outside as he was burning the incense, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of the incense. That's crazy. An angel appears to him. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard." So that tells me something already. He's already cried out to the Lord about this many times. He's already sat in prayer and said, "Bless us, God, with a child. Give my wife a baby." And if anything, in this time, it was disgraceful for them not to have a child. So the angel goes on to say, "And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." So similar in the way he's speaking, similar to how he was speaking to Mary, he's also similarly speaking to Zechariah right now by explaining what's going to happen. And then he's also explaining afterwards what's going to happen to them, how they're going to feel from this, and explaining who John is. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor. He'll be pure vessel, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to their Lord God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him," Jesus, "in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zacharias said to the angel, again, we're having another response, just like Mary. He said, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." Now, I want to stop right here because Mary and him both had questions, which questions are wonderful. I highly encourage questions. If you don't understand something, please don't sit there in the unknown and make assumptions or judgments in your head against something that you don't know. It's incredibly important for you to seek out the truth and the right answer. But there was a difference between how Mary asked the question and how Zacharias asked this question. Mary came from a place of trying to understand how this impossible thing was going to happen. She wasn't questioning the impossible thing. She was questioning, how is this going to work? And the angel Gabriel answered her with joy and told her. But Zacharias asked, "How will I know this is even going to happen? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And there's plenty to affirm right there. I get you, Zacharias. You know, you are older, and that's not common to have happen. But you just had an angel come from heaven and come down and say to you exactly what's going to happen, exactly what he's going to do. And now he's questioning in the face of this angel of the Lord, are you sure? Are you sure what you're saying? And I don't like to be this person to like, oh, that sounds like the devil. But there's a place right here that's important to kind of ponder that for a minute, though. And I'll elaborate as we go on why. So in response to his question, that didn't come from a place of understanding, but from a place of unbelief, the angel answers and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring this good news. This is such good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. That's really sucky, if I can say so myself. Just like I said before, the questions weren't wrong. It was the heart of the matter that was not right. When the angel Gabriel came and asked, when the angel came, Gabriel asked this question. There was just a place where he had to be confronted with his lack of belief. That wasn't just about what the angel was saying, but it was about God. Because if you look back to it, he's not just questioning what the angel is saying. The angel came on behalf of a word of the Lord. He's now questioning God and his character and his nature and who he is. Because there's something within Zacharias that doesn't have a full revelation of who God actually is and his full character and his full nature. And there's something in there that I reckon with too. And that I feel like we can all, in some place in our life, reckon with. But I want to continue on here with this, but I just find it interesting. The angel starts with this whole dialogue of saying, your petition has been heard and it will come to pass. What's harder to believe? That God listens and hears your prayers and desires to fulfill them? Or that the Son of God is going to be put in your womb? I don't know. This wasn't, just like I said, just about believing the impossible or not believing the impossible or not believing a friend who may tell you something you want to hear. This was deeper. It's about God. The issue with unbelief is that it is a seed planted for accusation against God and his character and nature. And the problem with having an accusation against God's character and nature is that God then becomes unrecognizable to us. We are now seeing him through the lens of our own filters, our own beliefs, our own experiences, our own life and how we grew up than who he actually is. And it distorts the reality of who God, this Father, wants and desires to be to us, which ends up altering our whole vision of reality. This doesn't just start in one area in our life or in the religious section or spiritual section of our life. This is everywhere. So I want to tell you how this happened to me recently, actually. So I grew up with an amazing mother, and I'm so thankful for that. But I did not grow up with a father who knew how to love me or others well. And that caused a lot of pain, a lot of trauma, and a lot in my life that I've had to process and go to therapy and walk through many inner healing sessions about, you know. And as you know, I'm pregnant right now. And I recently had this dream. I've been worried about, you know, and I think this is fairly normal, about how is my son that I have a 1.5-year-old that's upstairs right now, for those who don't know. And I've been wondering, like, how is my 1.5-year-old, is he going to feel neglected? Like, how is he going to feel included? Is he going to still feel loved and cared for and all these things? And I've been really worried about him. And I had this dream. The Lord speaks to me a lot in my dreams, where I had gone away for some time. And there was a list of people that were supposed to be watching my son while I was away. And my dad ended up being the one who had him when I was away. And when I came back, my son and my dad were gone. And when they were gone, of course, I was freaking out, wondering where my child is. And knowing that my dad had left him and abandoned him and rejected him somewhere. And eventually, it was a terrible dream. I found my son in a car, like, barely alive. And I woke up, like, shook, you know, like, really terribly shook and distraught and, like, re-traumatized. And I woke up so out of sorts that I couldn't even, like, I didn't even have emotion because it was so numbing. And all I knew was, like, oh God, this is deeper than me just being nervous about how my son is going to respond when we bring in another baby. This goes back to a trauma that comes in my heart from a dad that did abandon and reject me. And I had no idea what to do with that. I mean, I've prayed about this. I've gone, like I said, to a bunch of counseling. I've gone to inner healing, and I'm like, great, well, then we're going to have to bring this up in counseling again, and I don't know how to feel peace again. I don't know how to feel joy again. I don't even know how to confront this. And a couple days later, we come into church, sitting over there in our seats, and we're in worship, and I just found myself worshiping, but I was sitting there and I didn't even realize what I was singing, but I was saying, won't you come? Won't you come, Jesus? And all of a sudden I had these memories come through my head of all of the times and real life events of where my dad had neglected me or abandoned me or rejected me or treated me not rightly. I had seen all of those things, and it wasn't scary. I all of a sudden just kept hearing the Lord, and I felt God's love for me, crying over me, saying, that was not me. I never desired that for you. I care for you. There is no part of me that will ever reject you or abandon you. You are found in me, and I love you, and I care for you, and I have delivered you out of that. I have taken you out of the life that you were once in. I have taken you out of the relationship that once caused so much pain for you. How much more will I take care of your son? Right. How much more? Yeah. And y'all, I don't even know what happened. I just sat there crying, and a whole new profound peace came upon me. And he revealed himself to me, and he revealed the truth to me. And that changed everything for me. So there's a choice that comes when God speaks something to us. When you have a moment like that of crying out and wondering what the truth is, not having any idea of what to do, there's a moment that when God came and met me in that place, and he reminded me of who I was to him, and he reminded me that he is nothing like my earthly dad. He is nothing like the people who have hurt me. He is nothing like them at all whatsoever. I still in a moment had a choice to believe if that was true or not. And since that moment of when I was sitting back there and the Lord spoke to me all of those things, since then, it's not like I've all of a sudden not had worried thoughts. I've had to confront them over and over and over again with the remembrance of what God said to me, that he is nothing like what I've thought he was. Nothing. And I'm daily having to remind myself of that. And something that's really, really beautiful, well, this part isn't beautiful. It'll get beautiful in a minute. But I just read and I was like, oh yeah, that's not sweet. So there's a choice then to believe what God said to us, what he says about his character and nature in this. So if you don't know how to hear from him, read this. Start asking for his heart and know and believe that when you're reading this, read it through the eyes of knowing that there's a father who loves you, and it'll change your perspective of how you read it if you don't know how to hear from him. But anyways, there's a choice to then believe what God told me or to simply not, and to hold on to everything that came with not believing him, which for me, that looked like a lot of fear. That looked like a lot of anxiety, that looked like a lot of anger, bitterness, confusion, sorrow, depression, etc. And that would come up just randomly at points in my life. It's not like I was constantly in this place of like rage, but there were random points of things that would trigger me in those areas. And just like when you come into a room and you see somebody that's happy and like excited and bubbly and wants to talk to you, their energy is like contagious. There's something from them that you're like, ah, I want to be near them. Or it invites you into their, what they have. It invites you into that space. And unfortunately, so does this place when you're in fear and anxiety and in anger and confusion and depression and all of these things. It also invites others into that place. So not only is it affecting you anymore, it's now affecting the lives of everyone around you. And I don't mean that for if anyone's experiencing places in their life of hardship where they find themselves confused and frustrated and not knowing how to see God rightly. I've been there I've been there and I hear you, and I'm not saying that any of that to shame you and where you're at. Be in there. Don't deny or act like you're not having a hard time, but go to the Lord. Recognize your need for him. Recognize that he will come and meet you over and over and over again, and he wants to share with you the truth. So on the flip side, this is where it gets exciting. So if we choose the route then to believe what God says, something really great gets to happen. And not only do we experience faith and truth and joy and peace and contentment in our life, but that's also contagious too. So there's something that will happen then to the people that are around you that you'll be able to bring them into that too. You'll be able to impart the same joy, the same peace, the same faith, the same life, the same everything that you've received from God, the same healing even, the same freedom even. You'll be able to impart it to them too. And I think one thing I got to go, the reason why I'm even here in Pennsylvania is because I got to go to a ministry school. It's actually where I met my husband, and many of you that know that in here, but for the people who do not. And one of the things that we get to learn about in the school is how to pray for people, how to pray for them in their physical needs of healing, how to pray for them in their emotional needs of healing, how to pray for deliverance if people are experiencing oppression in some type of way. We learn how to pray for those things. And that's wonderful. It was absolutely needed. I had no idea what I was doing. I am a very literal person to some extent. And so I needed someone to look at me and say, here is a 5-step prayer model. You see where they are in pain. You then ask on a scale of 1 to 10 where they are in pain. I needed the superficial stuff in order to be able to get it real. But something that's really beautiful that goes even beyond that is that when you've received even your own healing, if you've received even your own freedom, if you've received a joy from the Lord, a salvation from him, there's something that you're then able to give just because simply you live from that. And so even just by having someone come near you in your presence, when you're in that place, there's something that you just get to give and you don't even have to try. Praise God for that. Seriously. So my sermon is actually way longer than this, but how I want to kind of wrap up here, like way, way longer, I think I have like 12 sermons in here, but you're kind, but is, I guess I'm going to wrap it up by just sharing that I believe it was in God's mercy on behalf of Zacharias that he closed his mouth up until the time John was born. I don't believe he did that out of punishment. God does not punish us. If you believe that, oh God, I'm so sorry. And let me tell you the truth that that's not true. Maybe you've experienced someone like that who has been punishing you because you've done something against that, but that is not how our Father is at all, whatsoever. And so I believe it was his mercy that did that. Because in chapter 15, verses 17 to 18, Jesus says, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth into the stomach, enters the mouth, goes into the stomach, and then comes out of the body?" We all know what that means. On the flip side, the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. What matters, what you believe, what you think, how you act, how you perceive your experiences on life matter. They matter. Because it has the power to give life to your soul. It has the power to give life to the people around you. Or it has the power to defile you. And it has the power to defile then the others around you. So from there, again, looking at God's mercy on Zacharias, he was in such a place of unbelief. And I'm not even saying that to like shame him or to look down on him, because man, I get it. I get it so much. Like, I feel like I was walking in that yesterday at certain points, you know? But we have a choice to turn our mind and change our mind about it and choose to receive what the truth is. And I really do believe that Zacharias would thank God for doing that. Because just like how Mary was then, I didn't even get to touch that, but in verse 46 to 55, Mary then is able to prophesy and exalt the Lord about who her son is in her womb and thank him and praise him and live from this place of joy and thanksgiving and adoration and peace and excitement that made her look forward to the future, that made her look forward to everything that was happening in her life to stay present and at peace. And Zacharias at that point in his life, unfortunately, wasn't able to do that because he had so many questions. He had so many critical questions of wondering about who God really is, clearly. And in God's mercy, he shut his mouth, but then in God's mercy, when John was born, he was able to yell out, "This is John." He was able to say who his son was and prophesy over who his son is. And he got a second chance. And that all came from just changing his mind about something. And sometimes that takes some time. And I get that, and I hear that, and there's no shame in that. There's understanding. There's no part of, I even think, God questioning that. But it's will we choose to change our mind about how we look at something is what really matters. So, again, I had a long thing here to go off of. But it is Mother's Day, and I really want to acknowledge the wonderful mothers here and bless you guys, because I've only been a mom for a year and a half, And I know that there are many times that I have had to come face to face with my weaknesses, come face to face with the truth of my unbelief, come face to face with my lack of faith about something. And it is hard to persevere and keep going on behalf of yourself and on your children and on your family. You are relied upon. You are depended upon. And so I just want to take a minute to bless the moms. So this men, young ladies who maybe aren't moms yet, receive this too, because this blessing is also for you, regardless if you're going to be a parent or not, it's still important. But if I could just have the moms stand up for one moment for me, that would be really wonderful. I did not come up with this.
Fair warning.
This is a very familiar area of scripture, but I want to bless you in this way because his words are a lot better than mine. When Jesus began his ministry, he was on the top of a mountain, and he began his line of ministry and teaching with this blessing. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You will see God. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You have a home. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you're not alone. You were never alone." So I just bless you, my mom friends, my family, my sisters in the faith, mothers in the faith, mother in the flesh. I bless you in Jesus' name. And I pray that you all, I don't really know how to close this, I'm not going to lie. I pray that you guys would all have a wonderful rainy Mother's Day and enjoy the peacefulness that rain brings on these days, and enjoy the quietness and the stillness that these days bring that we often so much need. And I pray that you're able to receive it even if you have children in the house. I know what that's like too, to think you're going to have that and you ain't going to have it. So I pray that there's mercy upon you and blessings upon blessings. Thank you.